Okay, good morning. Let's begin this morning our worship. And we will begin with the word of prayer, the purpose of the prayer to orient us to why we're here, and that all that we do will be glorifying and edifying. So glorifying to Him, edifying to us, fulfilling all the purposes that God had in mind when the institution of the local church and worshiping of Him. So let's begin with the word of prayer. We praise You this morning, Heavenly Father, for the God that You are, the wonderful provisions that You have made for us, beginning, of course, with salvation, the assurance of eternal security, and then so many little things like the assembly for edification, joining with other believers to worship, so many wonderful things, Heavenly Father. We pray that this morning will be a morning that will be glorifying to Your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Let's begin this morning. Let me see, I have a special song I want to sing in a moment, but let's begin this morning with a Christmas song and get ourselves into the mood of awe. And let's start off with "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," kind of more upbeat, and let me help you find it, unless you find it first. Let's see. 86. All right, I hear 86. Anybody for 87? "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Let's stand and sing the first, second, and fourth. Let's stand and sing. Okay, we were going to have class Tuesday night, but not Wednesday. It's going to be in Hot Springs, going to Hot Springs to teach. a lot has changed since then, and so let's go into that this morning. This week, a lady who you probably don't know, but There are so many people in our church that you do know that is related from this lady. This week, Tisha's mom, Thelma Thompson, was promoted home with the Lord. And it's just amazing how this lady touched this assembly in so many different ways. First of all, she is the mother of Tish and Larry, related to this church. Now, she has other sons and daughters in California, Lonnie, Johnny, Wanda. I don't think Johnny ever came, but Lonnie did. Yeah. And so there's the part of the mother. She is the grandmother of Leslie Jensen and Jerry Marriage and Terry Hallett and Rick and Larry Wise and, of course, her husband and Brian. So that's the grandmother. And then she's the great-grandmother of our upcoming congregation in Amber, Mackenzie, and Ryan. She is the ex-mother-in-law. And Thomas. And Thomas! Yes, my goodness. I asked when to do this. I knew I was going to. Every time I do, I want to leave somebody out. That's why I hate lists and going through things. And, of course, Thomas. Ex-mother-in-law, Pat Thompson. So she is represented in our assembly. And so, what a grand lady. Thelma and Raymond, her husband, who, by the way, almost to the day 6 years ago, went on to be with the Lord. And I was in California to do that. By the way, I'll be leaving right after service this morning, heading out to the airport. Born on the same day and died about the same day. 6 years, my goodness. Born on the same day. Wow. Raymond and Thelma, I don't know if they knew my name. They just called me the preacher. And ever since I've known them for years, and I would go and visit, and now the preacher's here. And so I just let it go and figured that was my name. And what a grand lady and wonderful friend of mine. I've named the relationships of these people. She's my friend. And I know that right now that Thelma is home with the Lord and seeing Raymond and seeing the Lord and so many other people. I was a friend last week, Don Becker's mom. So maybe all of my mom and all these moms are getting together and telling stories about all those kids. I don't know. That could be dangerous in heaven. But please be in prayer for the family. We will do the service Tuesday. And I'll be coming back late Wednesday and then Thursday going on into Hot Springs to teach. So we will not have class Tuesday, Wednesday, and for those reasons. And the things that these services, when it's a believer, and especially if you know them, it makes it so wonderful to do these services. And different things are said that are personal. And last night, Leslie, Thelma's granddaughter, called, and she wanted to read me something that she had written to be presented at the service Tuesday. And I thought it was unbelievable. I just couldn't believe she just wrote it, sat down and wrote it. And I'm going to have Leslie just come and read it to you, not me. I'm going to make her read it. And so come up and read this to him.
Says, we celebrate today the remarkable woman, Thelma May. We'll remember you for eyes sparkling blue, a smile so sweet, and tender hugs to greet you. We'll remember you for the love you shared, a gracious heart, and your loving care. We'll remember you for giving so much as a devoted, loving wife, mama, and grandma. For us, she lived her life. God has called you home now into his loving care, his perfect peace and glory you'll share. Time to say goodbye, await for us, we'll soon be there.
Very beautiful.
Pretty good, Leslie. Leslie does their often puts together their Christmas card things, and you ought to put out a book of poetry or something. My goodness. And I mean it. People say those things, and I know various people that should have written some things and stories, but somehow we don't get around to doing those kind of things. But do be in prayer for the entire family. I'm looking forward to being there and seeing so many good friends again. And it'll be a wonderful occasion to say goodbye to Thelma in this regard. And how beautiful it is to know that we'll all be together shortly. And not real short, hopefully, but shortly. Rapture could occur at any moment. And do that. So please, bear that in mind. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Got a call yesterday from Glenn Poulter. Now, Glenn is the son of Gene Poulter, one of our tapers. In fact, organizes my speaking in Hot Springs. He called and said his son, Judd, is in Iran. In fact, he makes the house searches. And where a couple of his buddies have died already. And so please be in prayer for Judd and the entire family. Judd himself is not married, but do be in prayer for the family, and from father and mother to the grandparents. So just bear that in mind in your prayers. Any other thing that I'm not aware of, please be in prayer for each other. We're all in the spiritual warfare together. The Word of God the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is one who has accepted Christ as Savior, one who is led by the Spirit in the area of giving. We're in the season of giving, and people, you can give, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, until you yourself become poor, but if you do not have love, dash the filling of the Spirit, then it profiteth nothing. So, therefore, the giving, the offertory, is designed really for the believer who is being led of the Spirit in regard to giving. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we close out another year in the history of this assembly, first of all, we thank you so much for the opportunities that you have given this assembly, the spreading of the gospel to both believer and unbeliever. This year, really advancing in regard to the internet outreach, in regard to missionary activity in Central and South America. We pray, Father, that in the following year you will continue to use this assembly. We move location, but Father, we do not lose in any way or leave our dynamics in the spreading of the gospel and how important it is to us. So we pray, Father, that in this new year coming up, that you will continue to use this assembly in spreading the truth to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now, as we prepare to move, we're updating the roster, making sure everything is correct. And Gary just handed me the updated roster. And please check it if you haven't. The people who have, there's an X by your name. That doesn't mean we're taking you out of the church. That doesn't mean that at all. All that little X means is that you have checked it, that the information is correct. But we have several people who have not checked it. And so we do need to have that checked. Rick, you need to, yours isn't checked. And so we need to have that checked.
It doesn't necessarily mean the information is correct because I could have made a mistake, but it means that they changed the information.
They changed the information. Might want to double check. Double check you on here. And in fact, you haven't checked it either, so we need to do that. Okay, pass more. I have, so that's good. Okay, check this out. It'll be on the back table. Is that okay? And we'll do that. So please have that checked. Okay. Okay, if you have one. All right, good. Wow. What a day we live in. This morning we're going to sing a song in regard to, respect of Thelma. And again, some of you came in late. Tisha's mother went home to be with the Lord this week. And we're going to zip out of here and take a flight to California. So, in respect of Thelma, another thing that I love about Thelma and Raymond is that they were both Texans. They met here in Texas and they're born here in Texas. That's really, they got a lot of connections with us. And in fact, all their children were born in Texas except Larry. You and I were born in California.
Yeah, but I was caused here.
I was caused here, all right. I like that. Okay, 339, page 339, It Is Well With My Soul, which is a wonderful attitude and thought process. And let's sing all four verses. Let's stand and sing, It Is Well With My Soul. Echo. prayer, prayer has taken the place of a lot of things that would happen if a person is truly walking in the Spirit. Prayer is something, the concept of prayer, not true prayer necessarily that's answered in the power of the Spirit, but the concept of prayer can be done by anyone, everyone. Everyone kind of, not everyone, but many people turn to it like a magic thing. They never talk to God any other time, but things are really tough, so they go into some type of prayer. But people, it is one of the great privileges that we do have to pray to the Heavenly Father, the Creator, the authority, the sovereign over all the universe. It is a remarkable, astounding concept of prayer to God the Father. It is a relationship with Him. Please remember that Jesus Christ came to take us to the Father. That's why He came. And it's a shame that so many Christians, even, their prayer life is just really at times when they are in desperate need, they don't develop a prayer life with Him. But prayer was very important to Jesus Christ. We have a number of prayers recorded by Christ in just 3 years of His life. We're in the midst of looking at a prayer of Jesus Christ just prior to the crucifixion. His soul is very heavy. He's in agony because of the hour that is about to come, the cross, the hour that He's actually in, the cross, the separation from God the Father, as it were, and bearing the judgment of the sins of the world. And this agony took Him to the Father. We go to the Father in time of need, time of praise, thanksgiving, time of help, time of strength, need of strength. So many different things bring us, even joy, things of joy and happiness should bring us to prayer. Let's continue our study this morning of prayer. But first of all, let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose being to test yourself to see if you're in the faith of trusting the Spirit, to open your eyes and ears to things about faith, about prayer. I think that's, I wish I could say I planned it, but of course I didn't. We entered this year with the resolution to pray, the New Year's resolution to resolve to pray. And now we're ending the year in studying prayer related to our Savior. So let's begin with the word of prayer before we study. Let's pray. Finding us, Heavenly Father, desperately wicked, full of evil, even insane, incurably wounded, in darkness. You found us there, Heavenly Father, and You brought in the light to save us, restore us. But Your love and Your grace did not end there. You gave us the assurance of this eternal life. In eternal security. The assurance of that unknown factor in the human realm called death. But to the Christian, it is but a change of location. It is but a promotion. What an awesome God You are that You gave us this assurance. Having all these things taken care of, the then Heavenly Father kept on providing with the indwelling of the Spirit. For power, for guidance. And then, Heavenly Father, You gave us the great privilege of prayer to communicate with You. What an awesome God You are. We are continually, Heavenly Father, overtaken by Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. Pray this morning as we study prayer that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the dynamics of it. And how important it is in our daily life, in our marriages, in our homes, and in the church. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now last week we left off, we were in the midst of just looking at some things in regard to prayer that we have not looked at for quite some time. We finished down through point 7, so let's just quickly go over them to get us into where we are. First of all, in prayer, you're communicating with God the Father. We spent some time on all of these. I just want to refresh your memory, get us into that point. So what you're doing, you're talking with God. Therefore, prayer preparation. What am I going to say? What can I say? What do I want to say? These kinds of things. What I cannot say. We spend a great deal of time under prayer preparation of Jesus Christ. My soul has become greatly troubled within me. What shall I say? Shall I say to the Father, deliver me from this hour? No, I can't pray that, because for this purpose I came to this hour. And then we have his prayer. So we saw the importance of prayer preparation. Now he's ready to go into communication with God the Father. Then we saw in prayer, we're seeking the will of God. Not our will, but his will. Thirdly, prayer must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of prayer is no more than the ceiling of the room where you're in. But prayer that is bound up in the power of the Holy Spirit is like that sweet savor from the altar that goes all the way to the nostrils of God. Our prayers go to the ears of God, as it were. Point 4, prayer is not designed to take the place of faith. A lot of people just think prayer is some kind of a magic thing they can use. People don't do that with prayer. It does not take the place of prayer. In fact, proper prayer is based upon our faith. Then we noted an agenda of prayer, and please remember that I spent some time explaining this. This gives you an ideal of a flow. These aren't like rules outside of being filled with the Spirit, just to guide us in the understanding of prayer, in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, addressed to God the Father in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. We spent time with that. Thanksgiving and praise are a vital part of prayer. Then we noted point 6, interceding in prayer for others. And we spent some time under this. Very quickly, this means to be in prayer for those you don't even know. This means to pray for those who hurt you and wrong you. I want to spend a few minutes here. In order to do this, you go into prayer, you adjust yourself with the Holy Spirit. In prayer preparation, you've laid things out in your mind. Now things are a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. You go into forgiveness. Hadn't even entered prayer yet, people. And your soul's already starting to become calm. Forgiveness has already taken place. People, let me tell you something. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think you can go into prayer to God the Father and have hatred, resentment, and animosity toward another believer. Christ makes this very clear. This isn't going to work. Forgiveness has to take place even before an effective prayer. That prayer may be nothing more, people. I don't want to spend a lot of time here. That prayer may be nothing more than, Father, right now, I don't even want to forgive them. Please be honest with God in your prayers. Lewis Berry Chafer worded it in regard to, I don't want to do this. Don't want to love them. I don't want to forgive them. You give me the desire to forgive. You give me the desire to love. People, that's a prayer God can answer. Don't fake it. Well, I'll not hate them for the moment. I'll push down the hatred and try to cover it up so I can go into prayer. Lay it out there, people, so that you can have a wonderful relationship with him. So this was an important point. Intercessory prayer is part of God's grace to allow you to enter into the lives of other people. Some you don't even know, though many that you will know. Intercessory prayer is spiritual love in action. Intercessory prayer turned a nation back to God. And we just noted this was in the time of Elijah. Intercessory prayer for those who are in need is very important in prayer. And then we ended with prayer for yourself. That brings us now to the next one, point 8 of our study in regard to prayer, is to orient us again to all of these things in regard to prayer. People, The answering of prayer, the answering of your prayers, is one of the most fulfilling joint efforts between you and God. It's one of the most fascinating, wonderful joint efforts. When you go to God in prayer and He answers the prayer. Let me tell you where I got that. I don't mind telling you where I got that point. I used to read, haven't done it in a while, various reasons, but I used to read a lot of books that dealt with wine in one way or the other around the world. And just the history of wine and different things of wine, because it's so important through Scripture. The communion is based on wine and the bread, wine all the way through Scripture. And one of the authors of a wonderful book that I have on wine is a born-again believer. And he made the most astounding statement in his book. He said that to him, the most wonderful cooperation between man and God is the making of wine. And he explained God's part and man's part. Now God, the growth of the grapes and things like that, and then man's part, the processing. And he just worded it as a wonderful cooperation between man and God. Got to thinking about prayer. What a wonderful cooperation. What a wonderful time of fulfilling between joint effort. You've called on God to act. And then God answers your prayers and acts. It's an interrelationship with God that is extremely dynamic and extremely wonderful in that respect. So we have the that aspect. Now let's go to point nine. Point nine. Prayer is calling on God to act in your life, and God is anxious to do so, people. That's what's amazing. Prayer is calling on God to act in your life, and God is anxious to do so. Please, for those of you taking notes, write down and then we'll turn to Matthew 7 and we'll read verses 9 through 11. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Let's take a look at it. Matthew 7. Verse 9. Matthew 7, verse 9. Or what man is there among you when his son shall ask him, Brian, we can change that to daughter too. I think it's intended. You have nothing but daughters, so. Or what man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? By the way, I could talk about the stone and the snake, but that's not our study this morning, so let's go on. Verse 11. If you then, being evil, that's our state, that's our flesh state, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? People, he is there willing to, waiting. You might ask them, then why doesn't he just give? What is this whole thing of the prayer dynamics? People, please appreciate the fact the Christian life is not performance. It's relationship. Understand why faith. Do you understand why faith? Faith is a relationship word between you and God. Love is a relationship word between humans. We love one another. But between creation and creator, that relationship word is faith. It's, if my left hand is our faith, this is what God joins us and joins us together. Now, out of that will flow love. But so many people, I love God, and whether they do or not depends on the Holy Spirit. But our relationship with Him at any given moment, when we're walking in that faith of Him, He desires a relationship. This is one of the dangers in a Bible church. Let me tell you one of the dangers in a Bible church. As a Bible church teacher who loves this book, who spends every day studying this book, in the original text. But let me tell you something. One of the dangers is having a relationship with this book instead of what it's about. Having a relationship with Him, with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The text, Bible doctrine, if you please, takes us to Him, forms a relationship with Him. One of the great problems in America, we don't know how to have relationships, people. Look how many marriages end in divorce. How many families end in feud. We are losing the art of communication throughout the history of this country. We were talking, grew up with us here this morning, got here early this morning. Something that's wonderfully lost in America is the neighborhood, little neighborhood, restaurant, and if you please, pub, where people come, used to just from right down the street, next door, around the corner, sit and talk. Not anything important, necessarily. Play dominoes, just all this kind of interaction. They're gone. We don't have those places anymore. And communication is losing. People, please appreciate, your Heavenly Father wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. If you don't have it with your husband, your wife, I'm sorry. If you don't have it with your parent and children, I'm sorry. If you don't have it with friends, I'm sorry. But you can have it with God. And if you don't have it with God, it's your fault. He's standing there waiting. This is a beautiful passage. Look at verse 11. If you then having, being evil, that's our flesh nature, and don't be offended by that. Accept that. One of the first things you and I have to do is to accept the fact that we are evil, and then you'll appreciate God becoming man. Okay. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask Him? Relationship. My parents took care of our needs, their financial ability, financial status. They took care of all of my brothers and sisters' needs. I'll tell you something. They often come up, can I have an extra five? Something's going on at school. Yeah. Most of the time, yeah. Would I have got it had I not asked? No, because now this is where God does know, but I didn't come to them and have that relationship rapport and ask for it. If I didn't ask, I wouldn't have gotten it. It's that simple. Now, the difference is God does know, but there's a relationship when you go. I didn't go to the next door neighbor, didn't go down the street, didn't go. Mom and Dad. That's what this text is about. Go to your Heavenly Father and ask. Okay, let's move on. Prayer is calling on God to act in your life, and people, God is anxious to do so. Now, point 10. Why prayers are not answered. Now, I want to say this. This could take us another couple of days, but we're not going to spend that much time. It's going to give you a couple of things, and then we'll move on. First, I want to talk about selfish prayers are not answered. Self-centered prayers are not answered. We're going to look at James 4 for this one. Those of you writing, we're going to look at James 4:3. James 4:3. So let's take a look in Bible class at James chapter 4, verse 3. When you pray in Jesus' name, what you're praying, it's not some kind of magic thing you can add at the end of a prayer and like now I control God. I control God. I know the magic words in Jesus' name. And if I add that, then God's got to obey. No, understand what Jesus' name means. It means under His authority and His benefit. It's all in reference to Him. Now let's look at James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive. All right, why? Because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You're not seeking the plan of God. You're not seeking. You might say that. I always like to kiddingly say, oh, Lord, help me win the lottery, and I'll give half of it to the church. That isn't your relationship with the Lord. That's a throw-in. You know, half is better than none, so if I tell God I'll give half, He'll give me a lot. It doesn't work that way. So if you pray for your own selfish flesh nature and desires, then you can chalk it up. That prayer isn't going to go very far. Secondly, first of all, your selfish prayers are not answered. And I'm going to give you another one that's right in the text. Lack of domestic tranquility. What does domestic tranquility mean? That means between your husband and wife, there's peace. You're getting along. We're going to look at this one in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. For those of you writing it down, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Just keep going from James to 1 Peter. Just a couple of pages over, and you'll come to chapter 3, verse 7. Now, before we read it, we're talking about prayer in a marriage. Now, I'm not going to spend a word to do this, and then we're going to go straight to the Lord's Prayer. We could spend a long time on prayer, like when a husband and wife coming together and pray. You're having problems. First thing you do is you come together and agree on what you're going to pray. One of the reasons that a couple cannot pray when they're having trouble is because they're self-centered. You come together and you decide, okay, let's say this. Let's say that the trouble between the husband and wife is so bad that you're down to this. Do you want the marriage? Now, if one of them says no, then this doesn't work. We have a lot more to do. And we had to go to marriage counseling then. But right now, I'm talking about prayer. Okay, yes. Then, people, that's all you pray. That's all you pray. And don't try to throw in something. You sit there, you join hands. Okay, Father, we come together in prayer, and we both agree that we want this prayer, and please help my wife see things my way. No, you've just ruined it. You've just blown prayer. All you can pray about is we both want the marriage. We're having trouble. Give us wisdom and love for one another. Amen. Pray together. You've got to understand how these things work in regard to prayer for the husband, wife, the home, the children. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way. Well, you got to understand what an understanding way is. It doesn't mean it's all about you. Live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. And ladies, don't be offended. That's a wonderful concept. I find that when women are upset about that, they're like men and women who are upset with the passage we just read that we're evil. I have trouble with that. No, people, don't have trouble with that. The quicker you are to acknowledge things, the quicker you are to move into God's plan. Live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. And grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Now, why do you want to do this, gentlemen? So that your prayers may not be hindered. Lack of domestic tranquility in a marriage can just neutralize a prayer life. And you don't want to do that. There are so many Christians that are deceived. They're deceived. They think they can treat their husbands and wives however they want and maybe come to church and, boy, I'm just great with God. No, you're not. I'm sorry. That's what the whole book of 1 John is about. You claim you love and you don't. You have animosity, hatred, all this toward another believer. You're lying. You're deceiving yourself. James talks about you claim you have faith. You don't have faith because the greatest word manifestation of faith is love, and there's no love in this assembly. In our study, there's no love in this home. But you think you're really great with God. Quit deceiving ourselves, people. There are a lot of people have a mask. A spiritual mask that they wear in regard to their relationship with God. So the lack of domestic tranquility, gentlemen, can neutralize your spiritual life. Okay, let's go to point 11. I want to deal in point 11 with prayer abuse. Prayer abuse. Let's talk about it. Because this is very dangerous, how we abuse prayer. All right, first of all, prayer is not a means of directing God to fulfill your plans. Prayer is not a means of directing God to fulfill your plans. Okay, God, I'm in prayer. I got this prayer. I'm going to lay out the day for you, God. Now, you'll just get with it. Here's my ideal of the day, and it'll all work out really well. All right, let's go to the next point in prayer abuse. Next. Prayer is not a means of controlling God. Prayer is not a means of controlling God. You don't get to control God. He's not your servant. We're His servant. He does for us, but He's not our servant. Be careful. Be very careful. So prayer is not a means of controlling God. All right, next. Prayer, after controlling God, prayer is not a means of controlling others. Prayer is not a means of controlling others. Controlling your husband, controlling your wife, controlling your children, controlling someone at work, controlling someone at church. Okay, Heavenly Father, here's my prayers. Straighten my husband out. Get him on the wagon. Get my wife to do this. Get my wife to quit spending money. Get my children to be good. People, you don't control others by your prayer. Please understand that. Prayer is between you and the Heavenly Father. Don't sit there and start dictating and controlling others' lives. Now, let's talk about that so that we have people thinking. I can see some things going, okay. Controlling someone's life does not mean that you cannot pray in regard to their reception of the gospel, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the convicting work, what God is doing in their life. What I mean by controlling others is, I have this problem with these people, I'm just going to pray to God and straighten out that. People, you're worried about yourself. Do you understand the difference? With that kind of thing, controlling others, you want your way. When I pray for someone in regard to the gospel, when I pray about someone walking in the Spirit, what are you praying about? You're praying about them. That's the difference. Praying for someone's benefit in their spiritual life is far different than praying to control other people in life. Okay, let's go to the next one. Prayer does not take the place of learning and understanding the Word of God. Well, I just have an effective prayer life. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to study the Scriptures. I don't need to understand. In fact, the more we study the Scriptures, the more we're going to, the more powerful and effective the prayer life will be. All right, next. Prayer is not a cure-all. Well, if I just pray, that'll cure it all. No, people. Prayer is calling on God to act in your life, and when we come to the next stage of prayer, which is prayer pursuit, your prayers may direct you in exactly what you have to do to cure the problem. That's why I always tell people, be careful. Father, we need Sunday school teachers for our children. I really pray somebody will volunteer. Prayer pursuit may be you volunteering. Be careful. Well, Father, we need some money in the church. I sure pray you'll give us have somebody give some money. Prayer pursuit may be you. Well, Father, I wish this would happen in our home. Prayer pursuit may be you making the first move. So, prayer is not a cure-all in itself in that respect. Okay, next. Prayer does not take the place of walking by faith. We've already had it once. It's merit being here with prayer abuse. I don't have to trust God and walk by faith. I just use prayer. Then finally, the next one I'd like to cover. Prayer does not take the place of the fruit of the Spirit. That's very important, people. It does not take the place of you loving one another as Christ loved. You loving your husband, your wife, your children, your family, your friends. It does not take the place of the inner peace that the Holy Spirit gives. Well, if, you know what? Let's just use a funny example we used in a lot in SAD. I could get to work from my house to work without having to use deodorant again and without having to calm down if you, God, would just get everybody to learn how to drive right. If you just get everybody to learn how to drive the way I want them to drive, instead of all this nonsense, I wouldn't be a nervous wreck by the time I got to work. I wouldn't be angry. I wouldn't have lost it. I wouldn't have hollered at those people. If Father, if you just get everybody to drive right, I'd be okay. People, God can make you okay without even affecting how anybody else drives. The inner peace of the Holy Spirit. The joy that comes with Him. Prayer isn't going to take the place of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is patience. Father, if you just get my husband, my wife, get these people to do things and get it done and all that, my life would be, I'd really be good. I'd be a great Christian. I'd be a great Christian, Father, if I could just live on an island with nobody else there but me. I got news for you. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't make it even then. So, it's not a way of taking a place of walking in the Spirit by faith and having the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience, long-suffering, all the things that come through the fruit of the Spirit. Prayer may access the fruit of the Spirit for you, but it is not going to take the place. Prayer is not going to do that. Having said that, let's look at some of the limits of prayer. Some of the limits of prayer. Okay. I'm repeating this one, but anyway. Prayer will not take the place of the deeds in the Holy Spirit. In other words, things that you do in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the production by the Holy Spirit in your life. Second of all, prayer does not take the place of witnessing. Well, I sure hope they hear the gospel. I sure hope they come to know Christ. People, it ain't going to work that way. And I'll pick on myself to show you. I can't walk out of a gym after talking to some people. You know, Father, I sure hope he hears the gospel and gets saved. Boy, I hope you do that, Father. Wait a minute. You were just talking with him. You're the vessel God's going to use. So, people, it isn't going to take the place of witnessing and telling others about Christ. Prayer isn't going to take the place of giving. It's not going to take the place. I'm just going to pray. God, we need some money, so I'll just pray for it. It's not going to take the place of our giving. Next, prayer does not take the place of serving the Lord. And where does that come from? That you follow Christ and serve Him. So we've just studied following Christ and serving Him. 13, let's cover. By the way, that's not all. None of these are complete. I'm giving you some thought process so we can go through them. Now, 13, excuses for not praying. Excuses for not praying. And we'll end with this one, with this point. All right, let's cover some excuses why people do not pray. This one is by those who know just enough doctrine to be dangerous. Prayer is a spiritual gift, and I don't have it. No, people, prayer is not a spiritual gift where only those who have the gift. Prayer is a privilege of every believer. Are there people with the gift of prayer? You bet. But we all can pray. Are there those who have the gift of giving? Yes, but we all give. Are there those who have the spiritual gift of hospitality? Yes, but we can all be hospitable in the spiritual realm with other Christians. So, while prayer is a spiritual gift given to some people, it is a privilege of every believer. All right, next. Prayer is personal and should not be done with others. Well, that isn't going to work because it says where two or more are gathered. Now, next, I left out making the overhead. I left this out. And this is why I told you I'm doing so many overheads now. I'm learning to work the PowerPoint. So James came up and put the software into the computer, and I'm just getting a lot of things done and going back and forth from my PowerPoint, but the word not should be in here. Prayer is not optional. We are mandated to pray. Prayer is not optional. We are mandated to pray. All right, let's go to the next. Go through these rather quickly. They're just concepts. I don't have time to pray. People, you don't have time not to pray. You don't have time not to pray. Time, I guess, is one of the biggest excuses in America. I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to worship God with other Christians. I don't have time to pray. You can pray at any time. This old idea, well, they ban prayer in school. What does that mean, they ban prayer in school? Ha ha, I prayed, you didn't even know it. People can pray at any time, anywhere, anytime, any place you are. Nobody can ban it. We're not talking taking this hour out of your life. We're talking about a constant prayer life as far as your life is concerned. Okay. I don't know how to pray. Now, I want to talk about that one. That one's pretty good. Because even the disciples said, teach us to pray. And that's my job as a pastor. That's what we're doing now. To those of you who don't know how, and even those of you that do, to reinforce, go over some concepts with you about prayer, to encourage you to spend time in prayer. We need prayer. We're talking about a building to move to, finances, outreach, missionary outreach, different things, internet outreach that James is working on. We have a lot of things going on. So it's my job to teach this. This is what my gift's about, in part. Study the scriptures and teach you. So, yes, well, that's good if you do. But, even having said that, anyone knows how to communicate whatever language you have. I enjoyed My Fair Lady when Rex Harrison, Dr. Higgins, Mr. Higgins, he said, we would probably get along better with God if we didn't offend Him with our poor language when we talk with Him and the inaccurate language when we speak to Him. But we can learn how to pray and then pray. Then the next one, I don't know the words of the Bible. People, use your own words. There are no magical words in prayer. There are no magical words. And don't ever judge anybody else's prayers. You don't want to do that. Some people have a gift. They can stand up and pray in public, and you just go, wow, boy, that was great. And then some of us kind of stumble through, and that wasn't very effective. Don't do that. Don't judge other people's prayers. God didn't make you the judge. They're not talking to you anyway. Always remember that. They're not talking to you. They're talking to the Heavenly Father. So parents can teach their children how to pray. I remember a parent sharing with me how it was teaching their child, okay, you pray now at the table. And so what the child did was, I thank you for the green peas, I thank you for the mashed potatoes, and named everything on the table, on the plate. He was looking down at his plate. And that's all right. That's prayed. Now, teach him. Teach him how you can lump all that together, call it food. But the communication with God is what's so important here, people. Thanking God. Just thanking Him. In seminary, I remember we had one of our fun classes was in prayer, talking about prayer, and it came up about, well, what about thanking God for food in public? And the prof, they have fun. Profs do different things over the years. They develop it. And he had a whole long list of ways that people, rather than just, they're so embarrassed to just thank Him. There's the drop the napkin prayer. And you go, Father, thank you for this food. And so everybody thinks you're just picking up your napkin. And then there is the coughing prayer. And then there's the prayer out in the car before you get in. Just all kinds of things. You don't have, if you don't want to, fine. That's at your business. But people don't ever be afraid to thank God for what you're about to eat. Nothing wrong with that in their era of teaching. Okay, let's go on. I never see any results or answering of my prayers. That's another one that people use. I never see any result for the answering of my prayers. Well, one, sometimes you won't see answer to prayers. Sometimes you won't. Secondly, Maybe your prayers aren't in the power of the Spirit. There are a lot of things. So let me just start you off, though, as helping you in regard to this problem. Do this, then. I don't pray because I don't see any answers to my prayers. I'm talking to you that have that idea. Then try this. Just try have your prayers be nothing but praise and thanksgiving. Just do that. I'll go along with you. Don't pray for anything then. You never see any answers to prayer? Fine. Don't pray for anything. I'm a pastor. I'm telling you, don't pray for anything. Just start your prayers off giving thanks and praise. Just praise it. Well, I don't have anything to praise him for. Are you born physically? Yeah. You have eternal life because of the cross? Yeah. There's two things right there. So, just start thanking him. Start praising him for being God. Don't do anything else, people. I'm challenged. If you don't pray because you never see any answers to prayer, stop asking for things. Just thank him. Just praise him. And watch what starts to happen in your own troubled soul. Watch what starts happening inside of you. Watch what God the Holy Spirit starts doing. The peace. The mind. Thanking him for this. Thanking him for that. Praising him for this and praising him for that. Where that starts taking your whole soul right there in that little journey of prayer. And you just keep doing that until the Spirit motivates you to pray and ask for something. Before the Spirit causes you to pray and ask for something for someone else. So, that isn't going to work either. Okay, that brings us now to the actual prayer of Jesus Christ. And we will do this, the prayer, next Sunday morning. Father, glorify thy name. What is so important here, I know a lot of sermons are preached on the glorifying. I want to spend some time with you on the name. I'm going to show you something powerful that we're seeing in Revelation. And from Genesis to Revelation, from Job to Revelation, in regard to glorify thy name. It's an historical prayer. It's an historical prayer. It's a dynamic prayer. And we will study that next Sunday morning. Let's prepare ourselves for the communion service. Let's prepare ourselves for the communion service. I've got to leave for the airport. I didn't see a whole lot of food. You may want to not eat today. I don't know, but I don't think there's much there. But whatever's there, you can share. And let's prepare ourselves for the offer for the communion. It's a wonderful thing God has given to us, and we respect it once a year, once a month here, the first Sunday of each month, to sit back and to think about what Christ is doing in His prayer. The agony in his soul is about the communion we're about to partake. The glorifying of the Father's name is, in effect, what we're about to do. So what we're here doing is related directly with the passage we're studying, that his soul was greatly troubled in agony. And it was about what you and I are about to partake of. There are two elements in the communion. One is bread, not meat. And the reason not meat? Because to have meat, a sacrifice has to be killed. Our sacrifice has already been slaughtered. And you don't keep re-slaughtering him. So therefore, in the church, we use bread, which is nourishment to the body. That will become very important in our study on Tuesday night in Revelation. Not this coming Tuesday, but the next Tuesday, in regard to bread. The bread represents the agony that we're here studying. It's representing God becoming man, and then man becoming the servant of man and dying on the cross, and the agony that it brought. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served, that we might partake together. Thank you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had broken it, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We can't define love, Heavenly Father. It's beyond understanding. We define it by description. And now we know what love looks like. How you gave up all and became man. You lost everything in one day, that you might become the lowliness of man. That's what love will do. But it doesn't even stop there. You took our place. Chastisement that belongs to us, you took. That we might, Heavenly Father, have everlasting life. Be alive with you. So now we know love. We know what it looks like. We know what it'll look like when it comes from us through the power of your Spirit. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. It is our custom to hold a cup until everyone has been served. Please stand. The cup that you hold in your hand is continuation of his love. Jesus Christ knew that he was going to depart from earth And therefore, the disciples, the believers, both in his time and all the way through history up to us and after us, as long as the church is here, he would not be here. It was not going to leave us as orphans. We do not have the law because the law was not given to the church at all, neither was it given to Israel. So we needed something to guide us. And what he gave to guide us was the new covenant, which is the working of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the cup represents. In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's turn in your hymnals and close with a song of praise for our closing prayer. 165. 165. We'll sing the first, the second, and last verse. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the food of your word, the understanding of the great privilege that we have in prayer, the great responsibility we have in prayer. Pray that you'll take these things, have them bear fruit in our own soul, in our own prayer lives, individually, in the marriage and families that are here, and in this church. We pray, Heavenly Father, Thelma Thompson's family, the assurance, Heavenly Father, of where the Thelma is, home with the Lord. The assurance, Heavenly Father, that we will all be together again. We praise you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.